Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, and welcome to the inaugural episode of What in the Wide World of Cinema. I'm your host, Anastasia, and my co-host is Kate. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Guys, this podcast is all about weird cinema. Some bad, some good. Some somewhere in between in a parallel universe. But that's what we're about here.
I'm all about the weird and all about the cinema. And I'm here to discover all of it.
Absolutely. There have been some that okay. When we were setting up thinking like, hey, what movie should we cover? I sent her a list of all these ones that I wanted to cover. And she sent me a list of all the ones that she wanted to cover. And there was a lot of overlap.
Oh, but so much.
So much overlap, but there were some, you know, things that some of us, you know, some of the ones that she sent me that I hadn't seen, and some of the ones that I sent her that she hadn't seen. So we'll be doing a little bit of discovery together and a lot of revisiting weird shit from the past for the rest of it.
Gotta love that weird shit from the past.
Absolutely. Speaking of weird shit from the past, today's episode is weird shit from the past for me and brand new for Kate's eyeballs.
Oh, yeah.
And that is 2006's Taxidermia from Hungary. Oh, boy, guys. This one's fucking weird.
My whole brain the whole time was like, how have I not seen this movie before? How has no one told me about this before?
I don't
Thank
know.
Thank you for introducing it to me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, I was telling you this before we started recording, but I came to this movie through the Reddit Horror Club, which is something I've definitely talked about way more than once on my other podcasts, because I've covered a fair amount of films on both podcasts that I had originally seen with the Reddit Horror Club. So, yeah, they definitely brought me to some films that I had never seen before. This is totally one of them. I don't know if I would have seen it without them. Maybe. I don't know. But they were tremendous in helping me find some really weird shit. So, Taxidermia. Kate, this movie is full of strangely beautiful imagery, wouldn't you say?
I'm obsessed with all of the imagery in it. Like, I can't get over the transitions and scenes and, like, how they would move from, you know, one character to the next character. I was just blown away. It was beautiful.
Right. And this is a surrealist comedy horror drama. It's almost an indefinable film. Because there's so many different elements of things in it. There's lots of grotesque imagery, but this film also manages to sort of lightly tell you the history of Hungary behind three generations of fuck-up humans. Right? Is that a fair assumption to call their family that?
I'd say it's the closest way to say it nicely.
Yeah, yeah. So this, you know, it's an interesting history of three males, three generations of males from one lineage. Some of it is questionable if they're, you know, we'll get into it. So this film was directed by G-Y-O with the umlaut, R-G-Y-P-A-L-F-I. And I would say it was the circumflex, but it's not because that's French and this is the Hungarian language, but it's like that.
I'm like trying to put it together in my head and my brain's like, don't even bother trying. You're going to butcher it.
Yeah, because my English brain just wants to call it Gyorgy. With Gyorgy, which I feel like is butchering it. Gyorgy.
Sure. I don't want to butcher it too bad.
I mean, I've done it before because I've covered world cinema all over, and we've covered several Asian films from different countries, and it's like, look, I'm sorry, guys. I'm just doing my best here.
If I hear it, maybe I could try, but I'd rather have someone who knows how to pronounce it say it to me first.
Right, and I didn't hear it anywhere, and I should have just, like, gotten someone to say just the first name and the last name with, like, you know, a Google Translate or something, but oh well. Anyway, like I was saying earlier, it's sort of a retelling of Hungary's history from the Second World War to the present day through, well, present day being 2006 at the time. So, you know, 17 years ago at this point. I hate saying that because that's when I was in high school. That hurts. So it was based off some short stories by Lajos Partinagi. I don't know. I'm sorry. Anyway, but it's based off of his short stories, and then it was made into this just surreal masterpiece.
It's so beautiful. I'm still reeling in it.
It's beautifully grotesque, I think, is a great way to describe it.
And that's how I like to live life.
Right. So the first, I guess we could call him the beginning patriarch of the family, sort of.
The forefather, if you will.
Yeah. So he's like a lowly military orderly in the Hungarian army. And he is... Yeah, I mean, he can just only be described as a sexually frustrated horny toad, right?
Yes.
Because, yes. Look, no kink shaming, but he's got some weird sexual predilections.
And, don't think I'll ever look at a candle the same way.
Nor should you. That scene's been frozen in my mind for 11 years now.
Every time I close my eyes, I see it.
I can see it right now.
I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
We'll get into that scene in a minute. Yeah. By the way, his name is Morozgiani Vendel. Morozgiani.
I know I repeated it a couple times when they'd say it. I'd be like, Morozgiani.
Morozgiani. Yes.
Morozgiani.
Yes. They said it a lot. Because he's being ordered around by his, not general, but lieutenant.
Yeah,
I think he's a lieutenant. Yeah. So he's been, he literally lives underneath this guy's boot. He lives in an unheated shack next to this man's house. Doesn't even get to sleep inside.
With his pig.
With
I'm
the
pretty
pet
sure
pig.
He's living in the pig shack. Yeah.
Yeah, he lives in the pig shack that's unheated. And fucking Hungary, which is not known for being a warm country. And it's definitely like snowy winter during this portion of the film, basically, at first.
Oh, yeah.
So that's super fun for him. His lieutenant is Balatoni Kalman, who he basically just gets him to do all the menial Charlie
he
work.
Is this bitch.
Yes, I was going to call it Charlie work if you're a fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You know, he's cleaning up shit, he's running bath water, he's feeding the pigs.
Killing rats,
yeah, he's, no. Yeah, I don't see him kill any rats, but that's what Charlie does.
Yes. He probably does, though, I don't know.
I never
see it in the film.
Probably. He gets in trouble for being a peeping Tom. He likes to peep in on the lieutenant's daughters while they bathe. So we get a few scenes of, like, you know,
sexual depravity or depravity.
Well, I was just going to say some, like, almost tasteful, just like half wet boob here. What, like, little just snippet of what he can see through the crack in the wall from outside. A little bit of nip here, a little bit of boob here.
I definitely thought of Porky's during those scenes.
That is completely fair. You know, those 80s sex comedies, they really, you know, it was just a really different time. Because you look at it back and watch a lot of those now and you're like, man, that nerd from Revenge of the Nerds straight up raped that chick.
That is that's just sexual assault.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, man, times have changed. Times have changed.
Some for better, anyway. Some for worse.
Absolutely. So, anyway, Morb Skinny definitely has a wild imagination, and I think that that helps him survive his terrible life. Because there's a scene where he opens up a picture book of the little matchstick girl, and it's a pop-up book, too, by the way. And then he imagines himself talking to the little girl and, like, being this, like, way more cool person than he actually is.
Yeah. And, like, I was like, where's this gonna go? He's got that imagination.
That seems creepy, but it ends up being fine. But, I mean, honestly, so this just escalates to, they cook a pig at one point, and then you also see him. There's just so many just scenes that you're not sure. You're almost positive that it's just his imagination. And then speeding it up, because this is actually not a very big part of the story, but we do see him, like, basically masturbating with a candle, and he sends a shooting flame. It's like if you had, okay, so if you've seen Scary Movie, that scene where he just, like, where she explodes, like, so much vaginal fluid that he gets, like, shot into the ceiling. It's like that, but with fire out of his penis, kind of. It's oddly exciting looking. But also,
I almost want to get a print of it for my bathroom.
Dude, I think you probably could. I'm sure you could.
Be a conversation piece for sure.
It would certainly be a conversation piece. I might get a picture of the little kid from Gummo eating spaghetti in the bathtub.
I actually think taking a photo of that and making it my profile picture on Facebook, like, right, doing my own spaghetti bath.
Oh my God, that would be incredible.
I gotta convince Dale to do it, though. Because that, like, only, like, three people will get it, and that's you and like, two other people.
That's fair. Yeah, but, you know, cool people have seen Gummo.
Exactly.
We're definitely going to cover that at some point, but we digress. Let's get back to taxidermy.
Probably going to hold our cats the whole time.
I mean, yeah. You know, I think about that during this movie, too. We'll get into that later.
Oh, yeah.
There's some not cool stuff happening with cats later. But that's not what's happening right now, dear God. So Morb Skinny decides, hey, you know, it'd be a great idea if I fucked my boss's wife.
I had a lot of moments with, did he actually, or was it just the pig?
See, I was thinking that myself, but the fact that she has a kid not long after he's murdered, spoiler alert, he gets shot after he gets caught fucking the pig corpse, and before he can even say much more than yes, lieutenant, and pull up his pants, the lieutenant has shot him in the head. Now, in the scene before that, we see him, it's like intercut shots of him fucking the wife and then what looks like just the pig, and you're wondering, was he remembering fucking the wife while he was fucking the pig, or what exactly is going on there? But given the fact that she does produce a child, that the father definitely doesn't immediately look or treat like it's his, but then just ultimately is like, I'm gonna raise it. I take it to mean that it is his kid and not the lieutenant's kid.
Also, the little added extra of the piggy tail did make me giggle.
That's true. Weird thing, but yes, the child has a pig tail, and I don't mean in his hair. And
a literal pig's tail.
A literal little pigtail. And the lieutenant goes and gets, like, I'm not sure what you call that device.
It's definitely a farm tool. I think it's for, like, shaving hooves, but I'm not a farmer, nor was I raised near a farm, so I'm not sure.
No, me neither.
There's clippers of some sort.
Yeah, clippers of some sort, and just snips the tail off, and then, you know, kind of, like, closes it off, and then just gives him a good smack, and it's like, all right, this is my son now.
And then there's this beautiful transition to the son's adulthood, and you're like, what?
Yeah, you see him, like, leaning over, and because he's a heavier set gentleman, his pants are a little low, like the plumber situation, and you can see the little scar from where the pigtail was. And that's how you know it's for sure him.
And he becomes a champion eater.
He is a speed eater, a champion speed eater. And we see him and a bunch of other competitive eaters speed eating, of all goddamn things, soup out of, like, these sink-looking troughs. It's really not appetizing. I don't like soup, really, to begin with. It just reminds me of being sick, because it's the only time I eat soup, really. So I'm not a big fan. I was just disgusted watching pretty much the whole speed-eating eater sequence is really gross.
I can handle everything else in the movie, but it's literally the sound of the soup, or the spoons clinking against the sinks, and them, like, just horking that soup back, like, you can see, like, chunks of carrot, and it's like, one of these guys are gonna choke.
Oh my god, right? And then the fact that they almost immediately after the thing is over, they just go and lean their heads on this big rubber band thing and start spontaneously puking out everything they just ate, basically. I'm sorry, last I checked, bulimia wasn't a sport. Am I wrong? It's sanctioned bulimia!
We could make it a sport. I'm just kidding.
But right, it really is, like, encourage sanctioned bulimia that they're doing to these people.
Essentially, yeah, because I was like, wait, zero the calories but twice the flavor.
They're binge.
Oh my god.
They're binge eating in front of people as, you know, entertainment, and then puking their guts up immediately after.
I'm not gonna lie though, I would sit around to watch that.
I mean, You know what I mean?
Well, maybe the smell might hit me, and that's where I sympathy vomit is the smell, so then I'd probably end up vomiting too. It wouldn't be good.
The smell
so
of
maybe
vomit.
I wouldn't stick around.
The smell of vomit is, like, the fucking worst. I mean, it's up there with the smell of death for me. It's a bad smell.
Smell of death isn't horrible to me, but I haven't smelled a body that's been, like, out in the fields for a couple of days.
Dude, one summer when I was living with my sister out in the country, because she moved out in the middle of nowhere, and dude, a cow died out in, like, one of someone's, like, far acre that they don't get around to that often or something, and that cow rotted in the over 100 degree Mississippi sun for at least a week. You could smell it for miles.
Oh yeah, I know. The closest I've gotten to is, like, a possum that got hit by a train and then sat there for a week, and I was still, like, upwind from it, so I didn't smell it.
Yeah, that there's, I'll never forget that smell.
They usually don't.
It's a scarring smell. So anyway, bulimia aside, he's a competitive eater, and he's got, like, a coach that's, like, that reminds me of the coach from Rocky, kind of, like, giving him pep talks and telling him he's the best and everyone's gonna know his name and shit. It's kind of great. And he's also, without even meeting her yet, he just sees this woman that he knows is a competitive eater for the women's division, and she's, like, cheering other people on, including him, in the crowd. And he's, like, telling this other guy next to him that's on his team, bro, it's going to be my wife. I'm going to marry her.
And he doesn't even know her.
Yeah, and he's, like, and then they're basically, like, all right, whoever wins gets to marry her. Okay, how about she has a choice, fellas, but whatever.
I think it's the 60s at this point, so women's rights don't matter still, you know?
It's also Hungary, so I don't really know how women's rights are over there, to be honest. And it's, by the way, this is, like, the height of communism in Hungary.
Big old Red Scare.
Oh, no, no, no. No scare. They're communists. They're calling everyone. They're calling everyone comrade there.
And I'm like, my dad? What? What's going on?
Yeah, right. Because your dad's name is Conrad.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they're just, you know, living up that Soviet lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Yo, we see some stuff about his childhood. He was literally put in a warehouse to learn how to competitive eat when he was like 8. And yeah, maybe younger. And they were eating, I looked up what it was.
Oh, it was semolina pudding with cocoa powder on top.
Yes, semolina pudding. I was trying to remember how to say semolina. I was going to say Somalian almost. Semolina pudding, which basically is just like a wheat pudding.
Yeah, like cream of wheat, I think, right?
Kind of, but a little more finely ground to where it has more of a pudding consistency.
I'd still eat it.
I mean, I'd probably eat it. I like cream of wheat. Whatever. Yeah. But, I mean, cocoa powder on top sounds nice too. But not if I'm eating it from a trough like a pig with a bunch of other people.
Yeah, no, that just feels degrading.
That's dehumanizing, absolutely. But these people are fucking thrilled to be doing this, by the way. They're all they're very on board, yes. It doesn't feel demeaning to them. It's an honor, which is so interesting. But yeah, so, you know, we see clips from his childhood of doing that and, you know, learning to be a speed eater or whatever. And then we're at what I assume to be, his wedding, right? We're at his wedding, and he is marrying the woman he said he was going to marry. But I don't know enough about Hungary.
I feel like it might have been a cultural thing where, like, you know, someone steals the bride and then, you know, the groom has to do, like, tasks. Like, it almost felt like it was a cultural thing for Hungarian weddings, but do not quote me on it, because that's how I perceived it.
That's also how I perceived it. I meant to do some research about it, but I didn't. I'll do some research, and I'll tell you guys about it on the next episode.
Both learn something new.
Yeah, we'll all learn something new. But this is the thing, though. When the guy who steals the bride, by the way, is the one who was like, you know, the winner gets her, just so you know. And then the bride and him drunkenly fuck outside while her new husband sings to go win her back or whatever.
Yeah. Because he's not allowed to leave the building until he finishes, like, certain tasks by the other guests. So that's why I'm like, is this just a cultural thing? And then, you know, the other guy starts confessing his love to his new bride. And he's then like, next thing you know.
Well, yeah, and the other guy's like, run away with me. We can run away to Norway together.
Honestly, he had me at Norway. I wouldn't lie.
Right? I just want to go to Svalbard. Svalbard, oh, yeah. I'm obsessed with Svalbard. Nobody understands why I'm so obsessed with Svalbard. But I will go there. That's my top of my bucket list.
I'll go with you. Let's start saving now.
You know what? If someone would willingly go with me, that's fine. Because I feel like I'd be dragging Mark there. He's like, what are we going
to do? I drag Dale, so it's okay.
That's fair. I try not to drag him too many places because, like, I don't like to be dragged places, you know?
I'm okay with being dragged places as long as they're fun.
That's fair. Let's save up for that Svalbard vacation.
I'm okay with that.
We're going to stay in that ice hotel and we're going to go look at the seed bank and polar bears and reindeer and drink a lot of vodka and probably some borscht or something.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Norway. I'm not eating any of that fermented shark, though.
No. I'm okay. I like sharks too much to do that to them.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, the ones that are fermented in the ground have been dead for a very long time, which makes eating them even more gross.
I think they used to previously pee on them, too. Like, way back in the day. But I don't want to know, because I'm never going to try it.
I don't want to think about it. But I am curious to try I think it's from Canada, actually, that Inuit ice cream that is, like, berries and animal fat churned with snow from the outside. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but I would definitely try that, too.
I want to try that.
Delicious. That actually sounds delicious.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. I'd like to try that. I saw Andrew Zimmern eat that on Bizarre Foods sometime. I don't remember what country he was in, though.
I'll have to look it up, because if it's in the Yukon, we can also go to Dawson City and do that sour toe cocktail.
Okay, I'm not drinking out of the sour toe thing. I'm just gonna... You can do it. I will take pictures, but I'm not doing it. I've got...
All right.
I've got...
I'm gonna kiss the toe.
Ah, ew. You know what? That's fine. I'm just not about it. Anyway, guys, let's get back to it. So, our speed eater, he's struggling.
Yeah.
He really wants to be the best of the best, and his coach is there for him. We see him at one point in what's, like, a really important competition. I guess the Russians picked this because there's like different countries competing there, but they picked some kind of, do you remember what kind of pie it was? It was some kind of meat pie.
It was horse sausage pie.
Horse sausage.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Pie. It looks fucking disgusting. And I'm pretty sure his coach said something about if you accidentally swallow a ring or a human tooth, you're done. And I was like, are there rings and human teeth in this pie? What's happening?
Is it like... his teeth and his rings? Like, I was like, wait, whose ring is it? What?
I'm not sure if that was, like, a poor translation.
Yeah, I'm not sure how good my subtitles were.
Yeah, mine were hard-encoded. I couldn't even try to change them in any way.
Yeah, same.
And we might have been watching the same version.
Probably.
Were they yellow? Big and yellow?
Yes, they were.
We were watching the same version.
All right. Good to know.
High five. Anyway, so I'm not sure about that, but maybe it was just a bad translation, but that really freaked me out. He's like, he's pulling ahead, like really winning at first. And then he gets lockjaw and the spoon gets stuck in his fucking mouth. And then he just keels over.
Yeah, because he has like a heart attack or something like that. Look, it looks like he had like a triple bypass afterwards.
I mean, Jesus, the way he's been eating, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, as soon as he fell down, I was like, oh, he's dead. But then he wasn't. He survived.
He wasn't. He was just in the hospital. And, you know, our girl's there with him and everything. And we find out that she's preggers.
Or was this before their wedding?
This is before their wedding, now that I think about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Reverse those things that we just said, and it doesn't make that big of a difference, honestly.
Yeah.
Either
way, they get married and get pregnant with each other.
Yeah, she's pregnant. Now, here's the thing. Is it his baby? Or is it the guy who fucked her on the wedding night? Did they both?
We never actually find out.
We don't know, but presumably they both fucked her on the wedding night. It could be either one of their children.
It's a toss-up because it's never really, like, hinted at or anything. So it's just like, it could be his or it could be the other guy's.
Yeah. So because they're both minor celebrities because of their eating capabilities, they're eating champions. They're invited on this yacht, I guess.
Yeah, like a cruise almost.
Yeah, but I don't think it's on an ocean because it's landlocked. So it's some, I don't know. It's like a yacht on a river or something. I don't know. Or a port. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe a lake. But anyway, so they're on this like fancy boat and there's like a bunch of diplomats and stuff on board and they've been asked to do a demonstration. So they're both the talent and the guest, which, by the way, she's pregnant and they're having her speed eat roe.
45 kilograms of roe in 20 minutes. Because I remember going, wait, what?
Okay, here's what I'm thinking. Mercury levels. That's fucked up to have a pregnant woman speed eat mercury.
But don't forget, she was not supposed to be a speed eater while she was pregnant. So they had the doctor lie about her pregnancy and they called it a cyst. Because if not, she was going to have to go to like vegetable wholesale or something, I think it was.
That's true, because she is a speed eater for the cannery.
Yeah.
That's like her sponsor. So they're what they were going to do is just have her like work in the cannery doing wholesale vegetables instead of speed eating anymore because she was pregnant. So they lie. Yeah, they lie and say it's a cyst. And now she's speed eating fucking caviar. So that's awesome. Nothing.
She can't figure out why she's getting so sick.
Yeah, and she keeps getting really sick. Wow, I wonder why. Because you're pregnant and you're speed eating. Like, you're going to eat a lot as a pregnant person, but you're, like, definitely not eating the right stuff.
45 kilograms of salmon roe.
Oh, my God. I mean, put that on a bagel. Forget about it, but...
Maybe a California roll, even.
Well, yeah, both of those things, as it turns out, are fantastic. Love them. Anyway, it's kind of messed up. But her son comes out, and shockingly, he is small when he comes out. They don't say that he's premature, but they just say that he's on the scrawny side. Yeah. And then, fabulous transition. Do you remember how this one goes? Would you like to describe it?
Oh, I actually cannot describe it for me because there's so many that I was like, oh.
It's actually not that exciting. It just like fades to, I think it just like either flips again from the hospital to the kid now, or it fades to black. I don't remember exactly what happens, but it's not like super amazing, but it's a good transition still. It's still
the transitions in this movie are decent.
Yeah, it's still a good transition. It's just not as memorable. Anywho, now the little boy that was just born to this competitive eaters is fully grown and he looks sickly.
Anorexically thin.
Very pale and like pallid.
Yeah. Very, very like late 1990s goth.
Yeah, except he doesn't really necessarily dress like that or anything, but he's very creepy looking. And he's a taxidermist, by the way.
Yes.
He's got his own shop. He seems to work alone, seems to do pretty well. We also learned that he'll do any kind of taxidermy. Well, we'll get into that in a little. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later. But a guy does come in and's like, hey, I heard I should come to you for this. And he's like, well, what kind of animal is that? Is it domestic or exotic? And the guy thinks about it and it's like domestic and he looks shiftily. Yeah. And then the dude looks in the bag, the taxidermist is like, okay, blah, 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 blah. I'll have it done by blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, the guy leaves and you're like, can't wait for that Chekhov's gun to go off. can't wait to find out what that is. By the way, this kid's name is Balatoni Lajoska. So the way they do names in Hungary is very much like Asian names, and that the last name comes first. So his name is Lajoska. Balatoni is his surname, if that wasn't clear from the other people we've talked about. So anyway, he pretty much lives to take care of his now extremely morbidly obese father.
I instantly thought of Pearl from Blade as soon as I saw his father.
I thought of Jabba the Hutt.
I mean, that's also fair.
Or Lord Harkin from David Lynch's Dune.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Just very, very big and very, very pale.
Very big, very pale, very bald, very unsettling.
Yeah.
Yes. So we see Lajoska go to the store and we discover that he buys the same thing every day at the store. He gets, I forget like the exact grammage, but do you remember exactly the measurements?
I think it was 800, like I literally just watched it yesterday. So it was, I think, 800 grams of margarine and then a protein bar of some sort.
I think it's a candy bar and then a lollipop.
Yeah, which he gives to the cashier and she always just turns him down.
Yeah, he, yeah, yeah.
But she still takes it.
She does. She takes the lollipop and then she's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. That's how I am as a cashier.
I mean, honestly, if that guy was hitting on me day in, day out, I might have to say something to my manager.
Yeah. I'd be like, can I work a different shift? He's in at the same time.
Yeah, he really creeps me out, and he's got a thing for me, and I don't know. I don't know his mental state. Like, I don't mean to be judgmental, but I'm scared.
I'm sure he's nice, but I'm uncomfortable, and he's not taking no for an answer.
Yeah, he's making me uncomfortable. I can't do it. I'm invaded by this creepy guy. I mean, honestly, his life's really sad, and he probably needs someone to throw him a bone, because I don't think he has any friends. Like I said, his life seems to revolve around his father, which sucks. So he goes over to Pop's house and gives Pop's the candy bar. And then one of the most, honestly, this is like the most horrific thing to me is what we find out. So Pop's has three beautiful kitties that live in what looks like a prison jail cell. And they don't get let out like ever, it seems. And they are fed fucking margarine because he's making them competitive eater cats.
Just, I was like, these beautiful babies.
They would have diarrhea all the time. They would be dead by now. There's no, like, I don't know how long they've been.
I'm surprised that, like, he honestly keeps that prison cell very clean because there was not shit splattered everywhere.
And there would have been. There diarrhea on the cats walls.
Any dairy? Oh no, it's a shit bath downstairs.
Cats aren't supposed to have dairy besides the stuff from the milk from their mothers when they're kids. That's
let alone oil, margarine.
Yeah, oh my god. Like, I felt so bad for those poor cats.
And I did love how there was that camera trickery to make them actually look bigger than a regular domestic house cat, though.
Yes, they used forced perspective to make them look larger, which was very cool.
I love that. I was like, oh, wow, those cats are actually huge. I want those cats.
Right?
Even if the ginger cat was super aggressive and violent, like, I don't care. I would take one for the team.
I've never known an aggressive orange baby. They are the sweetest.
I knew one. She was mine. And I just stayed away from her because I was a kid and she was just very grumpy.
Well, something went wrong. I don't know.
I don't know what was wrong with that cat, but she lived a good life.
I believe you. Anyway, these poor kitties. So him, you know, we see him come back and forth to his dad's a couple of times, doing the same thing every day. And his dad provokes him by being like, you know, these are my babies. They're so great. I'm so proud of them. But I can't be proud of you, scrawny. You know?
Yeah.
And he's like pissed because you can tell that this is something that's gone on his whole life. And he's just kind of had it with his father. During this fight where they're, like, arguing, his dad also tells him that he can eat, like, I don't know, like 200 or 300-something candy bars in a certain amount of time, but he can eat even more if he eats them with the wrappers on.
Yeah, it was, like, 500 or something like that per minute if he just swallows them whole.
Something crazy like that. It's like, what the fuck? And he also says, oh, you know, the paper just absorbs. It just finds a place for itself in the body. No, that's not at all how that works. It's not at all how that works. Oh, my God. So basically, the what happens from the fight is he's like, oh, if you don't, you know, you don't need me and I'm so worthless, then I'm not going to come back and take care of you. I'm not going to come back tomorrow. You can do this on your own. And he's like, fine, I don't need you. I can manage. Whatever.
Fuck you, Dad.
And we notice that the cage to the cats doesn't latch completely. And then he leaves. And then a couple of days go by and he comes back. And the cats have eaten part of his father. And his dad's entrails are, like, scattered in the cage.
All over.
Yep, Pops is dead as hell. And you're like, Jesus Christ. I mean, good for the cats, though. They needed meat.
Yeah, because a diet of just margarine is no good for a kitty.
It's no good for any living being. Let's get real here.
Yeah.
Let alone carnivorous cats. Jesus Christ.
I do feel like it was just the ginger cat, because the ginger cat was shown to be the most aggressive, and it was the only cat shown to leave.
This is true, but I mean, so come on.
I feel like the other two were unfairly killed.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert. So he takes his father and the cats and taxidermies all of them.
He even says that, "I'm going to make you look so good, Papa."
He does.
Well, he's like stuffing him with hay, I think it was.
It was either hay. Yeah, it looks like very new hay. It wasn't like dried out all the way. It was green. It could have even been some kind of weird fiber. I'm not certain.
I've never actually taxidermied myself. I just collect.
That's fair. I don't have the nerve to do it.
No comment.
Kate could do it. She also worked at a mortuary for a little while. She's fine with that. I'm not. I would faint. I'm just going to be real. I have a weak. I'm weak when it comes to stuff like that. Can't do it.
I do it for the both of us.
That's true. You do it for the both of us. So, yeah. So that happens. And then he starts, oh, by the way, we do see this before we find out that the dad's dead, but he gets a gym membership and starts getting ripped.
And you can't handle me while I'm cutting. You don't deserve me while I'm swole.
Yeah, right? So basically, you think at first it's because the dad's like, you know, you're the scrawny wimp or whatever. You think that's why he's doing it. And maybe he is partially, but it's also to serve a bigger purpose, which we see later on after he stuff pops and the kitties. And we don't see them in all their glory until the final shot, which I'll explain in a moment. But he has built this almost saw-esque machine that helps him. It pumps him full of preservatives as he, and pain meds, as he surgically takes out his own organs one by one. And then he sews himself up in a final thing. And an automated saw fucking takes his head off in one of his arms, and he is now a preserved statue of sorts.
Almost like, oh my God, I took art history and I know I'm gonna fuck this up. Michelangelo's David?
Almost like David, exactly, except without a head or an arm.
I almost said Da Vinci's David.
No, it's Michelangelo's.
Okay,
good. I think.
Oh, shit.
It's definitely not Da Vinci's. That much I can tell you.
Okay, good. Because I'm putting shame to all my art teachers right now.
We're talking about movies. It's fine.
Exactly. Who cares about high school?
Okay, so the dude from earlier. Here's that Chekhov's gun. The guy from earlier comes back to pick up.
Doctor, right?
I think he's a doctor. I'm not real sure what he does. But he comes back to pick up what he had taxidermy. And do you guys, it's pretty fucked up. Are you ready? It's a tiny aborted fetus that has been preserved in a glass ball that has been turned into a keychain.
Not gonna lie, I kind of want one.
I mean,
it'd be neat to keep. I'm sorry.
It doesn't have to be a real baby or a fetus or whatever. Who cares? I mean, you would probably want it to be.
I turned my own into it. I'm not gonna lie. Gotta keep your kids close, right?
Oh my God. Sure, man.
I'm wearing a Hail Satan t-shirt, so I already know I'm going to hell.
Hey, they say that every episode on the last podcast on the left. No shame.
Fair.
Because Henry's a Satanist.
Yeah.
So, he goes looking around so he can pay our dear taxidermist here. And that's when he discovers this magnificent work that he's done. And then we pan to a museum, and they are on display as art. Our pops, who's stuffed to the gills with the taxidermied cats, about sitting all together on his
throne, technically.
A throne of his belly. He's in a very festive looking outfit that makes him look kind of fancy.
Wind.
Yeah, and then you see the statue, which is the taxidermist's son, and it pans inward and inward and inward into his belly button and goes to black. And that is taxidermia, everybody.
And I sat there for a minute while the credits rolled, just soaking in every moment of that movie. It was just such a ride.
Such an intense ride. I will post a few stills from the film on our Instagram, which is What in the Wild World of Cinema. We also have a Threads account that I don't use very often, but we'll be more active now that the podcast is actually happening. You know,
we got our list.
We had to do a soft launch. So Kate, my friend Trent, who has been a guest on both of my other podcasts, loves the movie Houssou, which is on our list.
Yes, and I have seen Houssou.
Okay, so he loves the movie Houssou so much that he has a scene from it tattooed on his body.
I already love him.
He's also a school teacher and a stand-up comedian and has his own horror podcast. He's a Renaissance man, that Trent.
Want to be his friend.
Trent would very much like to be our next guest or our first guest and wants to do Houssou with us. So are you game to do Houssou next?
Yes, I just got to give it a rewatch because it's been probably about 2 or 3 years since we watched it. It was a really big thing of COVID for us because I was like, Dale, it looks weird and I like weird. And he went, I don't give a shit. Okay.
I watched Houssou a long time ago in a, like, binge of a bunch of Asian horror from all over the world. Like, because I already...
You did?
Because I already really loved Takashi Miike, or however you say his last name. Sorry, guys. I really love his work, and I own Audition, and I have for a really long time, and I love that movie so much. So I just started to get into some other films like Noroi the Curse, which is a wild found footage film if you haven't seen it. I think it's on Shudder. It's amazing.
You're gonna have to give me these as a list now because I want to see these.
I mean, we'll talk about them. Have you never seen Audition?
I actually have to look it up because, again, I'm in that mindset of I've seen so many movies in the last 5 years because of the pandemic that I'm like, have I seen that? Like, I didn't even realize I saw Dead Ringers because Olivia was telling me about it and I was like, have I seen Dead Ringers? And I had to go, Dale, did I see that movie? And he went, yes, we watched it 6 months ago. And I went, oh, shit.
Yo, you can't be Canadian and not have seen at least one Cronenberg movie, right? Are you looking it up to see if you've seen it?
Yeah, I am. Okay, yes, I have, but I watched it a really, really long time ago with my dad, actually.
Nice.
So I'll have to do a rewatch.
So...
Because we... Oh, wait, is it on... Oh, it's on Prime.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to do that then.
I mean, I own a copy, so it won't be hard for me to watch, but yeah.
Fair.
All right, so you heard it first. Our next episode is gonna be Houssou. So get ready to go in the Wayback Machine to 1970s, I believe. Japanese
horror. 1972, I believe, is when it was done.
Ooh, it's Let's Play is Kate Wright. 1977!
Damn it! I was 5 years off. I knew it was in the 70s, though.
Yeah, so 70s trippy horror from Japan next time.
Beautiful.
It's, yeah, you know what? We're just starting it off strong with just heavily surrealistic shit.
It's my whole life. I can't help it.
Right. I mean, I get it. I have the artwork from a surrealistic French comedy on my arm. So, yeah. Which is on our list. It's not on the list of things that we have both seen. Kate hasn't seen it yet, but we're going to watch it. Oh, we're going to watch it.
I'm excited.
All right. Well, guys, we'll see you next time with Trent for Houssou. Yeah. Keep it sleazy.
And keep it greasy.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.